Turning your Bibles to 1 Kings 17. Personally, these waters have changed my walk with God, have changed every dimension of my walk with the Lord, and they're causing things to come alive that were dead. Listen, we cannot make it without the living water. We cannot. We have to have the living water upon our life, in our life, and flowing. That's why so many of you have so much knowledge. You have so much vision. But without the water to water that seed, without the water to water that vision, it will not spring forth. It'll just stay in knowledge form and vision form. And so the Lord is bringing the water. Amen. Now, one of the things we're going to look at today is the waters of the old. So we've been into these waters. We've been in the waters of Noah, been in the waters of Moses, been in the waters of creation. Man, that's fascinating to see the way the Lord created the earth. He brought everything up out of the water. He brought the whole earth, every created thing he created, every fish in the sea, brought it out of the water. See, the whales, he called them to manifest in the water. It's just amazing. And he brought the earth up out of the water when the waters receded. And just incredible revelation there. And what we're finding is one of the great things I found in the Old Testament, the men that had great, great authority with the Lord, these men had authority with the water, especially the ones that operated in demonstration, like Moses did. Today we're going to look at a little bit of Elijah and a lot of Elisha. They operated in authority with the waters. Now, what I want you to keep in mind when we get into this today, that these waters are foreshadowing, all of this was foreshadowing our operation as New Testament believers and authority with the living water. With the living water. Now, when Jesus came, he became to fulfill the old and begin the new. So he had authority with both the natural waters and the living water. He commanded the sea. We saw this. He walked upon the water. I mean, he said, be still. And they were still. He called fish up out of the water. I mean, there's a lot of miracles he did with the water. And the living water flowed through him. The virtue flowed out of him and healed. And so today we're going to look back in the old a little bit because it's just really fascinating to me. Let's begin with Elijah. And 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And it says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now Ahab was the king. Elijah was bold. I mean, that man, you did not want to mess with him. I want you to see what he said here. He says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, he's talking to the king, before whom I stand, there will not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He said, there are not coming a drop of water upon the earth until I say so. Until I so say. There's not going to be a drop of water coming. That man had authority with the waters, and he knew it. He said, till I pray, until I release it, nobody's getting water. He had that upon him. We saw also, after he slew the prophets of Baal, he goes and confronts Jezebel, but she hurls that witchcraft at him, and even in all his authority and power, he was undone in her presence, and he ran from the presence, and he went up under a juniper tree. And when he was up under that juniper tree, he said, Lord, just take me home, take me home. That'll do that sometime to you. That's a very strong spirit to deal with, even when you're having that kind of authority that Elijah had. But when he was up on that juniper tree, the Bible says an angel came to him. Now, you're talking about a famine. An angel comes to him, feeding him bread and water. That's authority with the waters. That means when nobody's getting water, you're getting water. I mean, when the water's not flowing, it's flowing for you. That supernatural supply of water. I mean, Elijah had that. Now, who I want to really focus on today, you can read about that in chapter 19. Who I want to focus today is Elisha. Now, you know, when he met Elisha in the field, and of course, Elisha slew those oxen and began to follow him. Now, I want to get up into the place where he gets his mantle. Now, go to 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to look at this relationship a minute with Elijah and Elisha. There is such a prophetic parallel here of the way God commissions, the way Christ was commissioned, the way Peter was commissioned. Chapter 2, verse 8. Now they're up into the waters. Elisha, this is the last day that Elijah is upon the earth. He said, Elijah took his mantle, and they're going over the water. Elijah had been following him. Elijah tried to shake Elisha two or three times, and Elijah said, is my soul living? Says, the Lord living? I am not leaving you. He says, I'm going to Gilgal. Wait here. I'm going to Bethel. Wait here. I'm going to Jericho. Wait here. And Elijah said, no, I'm not doing it. I know it's your last day. Oh, no, you didn't. I'm not going. I'm staying right here with you. You got to have that quality. If you're going to carry supernatural, you're going to have to be able to cleave to the Lord. Elijah was like the Lord, foreshadowing the Lord. Elisha was like a disciple, but I mean, he had to cleave into him. If you can be shaken before the mantle arrives, you will be shaken when it arrives. You have to be able to cleave. And Elisha had that quality, and Elijah was testing him to see if he could shake him. Couldn't shake him. Everyone say, Lord, you can't shake me. I'm cleaving to the Lord. I'll tell you, you cleave a lot better when the water starts flowing. The water will get up in your emotions. It'll get up in your body. It'll cause all those things that are fighting you on a daily basis to come in harmony with God. I'm telling you, I've been seeking God for a long time. I've done a whole lot of fasting in my lifetime. I've done a lot of praying in tongues. I've done a lot of private worship. I've done a lot of things. But there is one thing. I'm not saying that boastful. I've done a lot of things, but I've constantly found myself in and out of harmony with God. In and out, in and out, in and out. That's a hard place. See, because what's inside you never leaves. You have to keep going. You keep pressing. Sometimes you're in and it's glorious, and when you're out, it's not glorious. There's one thing about the water. It creates such a harmony with God that every part of your being folds up into the water. In Hebrews it says he washes your body with pure water. He washes you in Ephesians with the water of his word that you be without spot and wrinkle. That water will wash the spot and wrinkle. That water will bring you into a state of baptism with the Lord in harmony that's glorious. And all the stuff I find doesn't fight me as much if I just stay up there in the water. It's incredible. It's the rest. So here we go in verse 8. It says, and Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters. They're at Jordan now. And they were divided hither and thither, and they too went over on dry ground. You have to understand, there is a dynamic when God gets ready to release new things. He's going to bring that thing through the water first. When the earth, brand new, it had to come up out of the water. Before Peter was commissioned, he was out on the boat. What happened? The Lord said, cast the net on the right side. And John said, it's the Lord. And Peter cast himself in the sea. He didn't know, but that was a type of baptism. He was casting himself. Here, Elisha has to go through this baptism. Even the Lord Jesus, not one miracle was done until he went through the waters. Because every time God does a new thing, he's going to put it under the water first. He's going to pass it through the water. And when it passes through the water, it will emerge ready for the master's use. When they walked through the water, they were ready. And so Elijah comes and he says, Elisha, ask me, what do you want? Ask me my last day. You better ask, good boy. He's type shadow of Christ. When God starts asking you, what do you want? You better be ready. I mean, Elisha knew it. He said, you couldn't shake me. All them prophets were telling me, you know, your master can be taken. He goes, yeah, I know. Hold your peace. In other words, shush your mouth. He'd go to the next city because they all got wind prophetically that Elijah was gone. He was going up. It was his last day. And they were mocking Elisha because they knew, what are you going to do when your master's gone from you? Who are you going to be now, big boy? Who are you going to be? He goes, I know. Just shut your mouth. He would not take his eyes. And so he said, what? See, they come through the water. He says, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion upon you. I want upon you. He goes, man, you have asked the hard thing. Who did God use in the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts? Peter. Stephen was about the only other one mentioned, but every time miracles and demonstration were performed, it was done through Peter. Peter cast himself in the sea. He swam 300 feet to the Lord. See, it was 200 cubits out in the water. See, that's a type of baptism. See, come up with that. He said, if you see me, when Peter come up out of that water, who is he looking at? In a resurrected state. Jesus had already ascended. He was in a resurrected state. And he was cooking for him. He's beholding him. See, Elijah said, if you can see me when I ascend from you, that's the key. You have to see me in the ascension. Every New Testament apostle of the early church saw the Lord. Anybody that performed any levels of powerful demonstration, I mean, they saw the Lord. Other apostles, I'll just say it that way. Anybody who was listed as an apostle, they saw the Lord in a resurrected state. He said, if you see me, and that chariot comes in. He said, man, alas, master, the chariots of Israel. He sees him going up. And that mantle falls. Now, this is important. Elisha knew what he was asking for. He knew that if that mantle fell, he would have authority with the waters. He knew it. That's the first test of the mantle. It would have authority with the waters. So watch what he does. Verse 13, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. He went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Because he knew when he would smite that water, those waters would part. He knew the mantle was on him. He knew he'd have authority with the waters. He knew that's what Elijah had. That's why he went straight to the Jordan with that mantle. He knew it. When we get the true mantle of the sons and daughters of the living God, we will have authority with the living waters. Out of your belly will flow rivers. And that's what the Holy Ghost is going to anoint with a life. That's Ezekiel 47 waters. When Ezekiel went out into the baptism, see, he had to go out to waters to swim in. Once he got into the baptismal state, he backed up. And went back to the riverbank, and there were trees lining, and it said, then the waters flowed to the Dead Sea and started converting the Dead Sea. You see that? Whew. Now let's look at some of Elisha's operations here. Look at verse 19, one of the first miracles that come out of Elisha. This is awesome. And the men of the city Jericho said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant. All is well. As my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground is barren. We have a problem with the water. Can't drink it. Now, this is what man does. This is what present-day church mentality does. When we encounter a problem, we get into fix-it mode. Well, we better build a water purification system. License it, manufacture it, and put it in every city. Hey, listen, one of the great things in the last days, I'm telling you, the waters will be attacked in the last days, even natural waters upon the earth. The waters will be attacked. I'm telling you, you better just know it. 20, 30 years ago, nobody would ever dreamed of selling you a bottle of water for a dollar. Nobody would ever dream a dollar. But see, because of the waters, they're having to put more and more chemicals in things. I'm just telling you. But you don't have to worry about that. Because God is going to give his church such incredible authority with the waters. Hallelujah. And so Elisha, he's totally in the spirit. He knows what's on him. So watch what he does. He said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. He went forth to the spring of the waters. See, he went to the source. You got to get your fountain flowing right and pure. You can't have a bunch of demonic stuff up in your fountain and think that you're going to just live in the living water. You can't allow your eyes, just anything to come up in there and your ears. One of the things I found when I started living this living water started deeply cleansing me, deeply cleansing my mind, started cleansing my flesh. I mean, I had some very deep situations happen. But when I come up out of there, there was a purity that I started looking at some stuff that I was just looking at before. I'm like, ah! I can't do that. Just natural stuff. Watching on the TV, I can't look at that no more. I can't be stained by that. You get real familiar with that stuff real quick. You get back in that innocency you had when you're first born again, when you're very sensitive, because that water will wash that stuff deep. I mean, it'll make you clean. You won't want to feel dirty. You like taking a shower? Raise your hand. You'll get like that in the spirit. You don't like that feeling of being dirty. You want to stay in the water because it's always clean. So Elijah gets up into that fountain. He throws that cruse of salt. and immediately heals the waters for a whole city. God's going to give us authority to heal the waters and whole cities. And I'm talking about the living waters. Open the fountains and letting them flow again. The big problem with the church right now is the fountains are shut off. You've got all the answers you've been looking for up inside you, but your fountain's closed off and that water's not flowing. You're living in a dry, parched desert and you're screaming out to God, when you gonna come and deliver me? And God said, when you gonna open that well? When you gonna deliver me? When you gonna open that well? When are you gonna deliver me?
When are you gonna open that well?
Of course, I can't talk like he does. Now, he says, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed that day. Look at that. Two miracles already off Elijah's mantle. When the authority of the waters show up, the waters start parting. Healed the waters of an entire city, and he was just getting started. Hallelujah. Go to chapter 3, verse 9. This is powerful here. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days journey, and there's no water for the host, so they're on a 7 day journey, and their armies are thirsty. That's what happens when we go to battle. We get thirsty. What soldier would go to battle without water? Yet we do it all the time. We're constantly fighting our enemies, but we have no water flowing through us. We're dried up. Our land is cracked. You're trying to exercise a warfare without living water. Men have done it for years. It's pitiful. It is. That's hard work. I'll give you revelation number one. If you are seeking the Lord, your enemies will never stop fighting you. That's revelation number one. Don't even think you'll get away from it. Number two, you got to decide what you're going to do with that warfare. Some people endure it. Some people run from it. First thing in adolescence, you run. But then you run, it goes with you. How many of you ever been there? Ran there, and said, would you leave me alone? It's like David's out in the wilderness. I'm a flea, and you keep fighting me. What is it about me? I'm not doing anything. Yeah, but you got something on the inside of you. Makes you very dangerous. Makes you really dangerous. That's why he tracks you down all the time. He's trying to dump so much stuff up on your well. You'll never open that living water up. And the next time you learn to endure. After that, you learn to sit and suffer for the Lord. 3 days old, the Lord, I go in the lake with my second time to go. She goes, LaRue, you're going to make it big with God. You're going to have to learn to suffer for the Lord. Well, she got it right. She's in the wrong mentality, but she was right. I had learned to endure some things because I spent the first part of my life running from my enemies. Man, I ran, let's see, from Tulsa here to Austin, back to here, Memphis, back to here. And then I was on my way back to Austin again. And then I was going to go to Florida. I was that close to going to Florida. I was Jonah. Just running. You do that. Then you learn to stand. Isn't that joyful? Just stand and take it. Pass me another affliction light. How about a six pack? Paul called it a light affliction. When you're in the glory, everything's real light. When you're not in the glory, it's heavy. When you're in glory, you can take a lot of stuff. You can take a lot of things when you're in the glory because you have a shield around you. When you don't, you get buried in that stuff. It's hard to come out of it. You're just sitting there taking and taking and taking and taking it. Then one day God's going to come and get me. How come he hadn't got you? You got to rise up. So you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to exert some warfare with wisdom. Paul said, I don't beat the air. I'm not one that beats the air, but I know to keep my body under. I found a new revelation to keep my body under. I put it under the living water. I'm baptized with him. I'm buried with him in baptism. I found there's a really good place to keep my body in the living water. Very good place to keep my soul up in the living water. It says, there was no water for the host. And the king of Israel said, alas, the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord? That's what the world's going to start saying. Is there somebody that knows God? Is there somebody that knows God? And they come to Elisha. Look at verse 16. This is what Elisha tells him to do. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Can you imagine? For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water. And you may drink both you, your cattle, and your beast. Say of all these three armies out there. 7 days. They don't have any water. They're acting like they're going to die out there. And Elisha's instructions is tell them to go dig. Everyone say, go dig. You want some water? You got to go dig a ditch and get ready for it to come. The water's coming. You're not going to see rain or wind, but you dig that ditch. You get that ready. Get it ready to hold the water because it's coming. I don't know what God did because there was no rain and there was no wind, but God put some water up out of a fountain. When they dug those ditches, God caused that water in that whole valley to flood with water. God opened a fountain. That's what you need to learn to do when it's not raining. It's glorious when God's raining on the church. Everyone's happy. When it's not raining, you're going to have to learn to open up the well. Open up the well. Everyone say, open the well. That's like dig the ditch, get it ready for the water to flow. Can you imagine those men? 7 days of that water, we're out here digging ditches? In the middle of a famine? So that's right, you're getting ready. Verse 20, it came to pass in that morning when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Eden. God opened a fountain. You see the authority with the waters? Here again, God has an army. They're out on the battlefield. But even God's army in the last day are very dry right now. The church as a whole is very dry. And somebody's got to go. God's got to raise a people up. It's going to go open the fountains of living water again. I'm talking about the fountains of power and glory. So what's the difference between the water that's come and the water that was? Your revelation. What you've been putting in your garden. What kind of revelation? See, I got a king, priest, a government in my garden. God planted it over 14 years. I know it's there. And now he's bringing the water. He's greatly enriching. See, he greatly enriches your earthen vessel. It's your revelation. It's what kind of word you're putting in you. See, the enemy will fight that word is because it's that meat that gets sown into your earthen vessel. And then God comes and brings the water up into that. And whatever, it's going to start watering your revelation. It's going to start watering your garden. If you have no word, there's not a lot watering there. There's not a lot of substance going to come out of the water. That's why the previous moves that didn't have a lot of word, the water didn't have a lot of substance, it made everybody happy. But there's a depth to the water that's come, a depth of glory and a depth of power and a depth of wisdom and a depth of an apostolic government that's going to come out of these waters. See, it's going to come out of the planting of the Lord. He's greatly enriching your earthen vessel that's been planted these seasons. He's going to cover it with water like he did in the early days. Even after he had brought the earth up out of the water, he said he calls in chapter 2, Genesis, he calls the fountains to spring up again. And he covered the whole face of the earth because he's ready to create something brand new again, which was Adam. Adam was created the dust, but he went through the water to create him. He covered the whole face of the earth. And then, the very next birth, he created Adam. It was dust covered with water. Everyone say, clothe me. Cover me in water. Man, God calls this fountain to spring up. See, these fountains, we got to open these fountains. I said, God, the whole body of Christ needs their fountain open. The world is going to be transformed. The Lord said, I'm not going to open one fountain. I'm going to open all of them. My people have no idea the treasure I've put inside them. And when I come to open their fountain, that fountain of living water, John chapter 4, it shall be in you a well of water that will spring up, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, full of inheritance, full of apostolic government, full of power, full of demonstration. I told you that story today. I sit in my prayer closet. Lord said, I'm going to bring you a blessing out of the river. Somebody walks up my house, hands me a bag of silver coins at my house. 253 silver coins. A bag. Drops them in the house. You get up in this water, things will start happening. I'm telling you right now, I am in revival. I'm going to tell you something about the waters. All this stuff will start happening in you first. It'll happen up inside you. What's ever going on inside you is going to start manifesting out. If it don't happen in here, it's not going to happen in here. You can be doing a lot of wishful thinking for God to come do something out here. If it's not happening in here, it's not going to be happening out there. The whole kingdom of God's within you. That water's got to get up. It's got to start watering the garden within. When he waters it, it will spring up. He'll bless the springing of the water. He'll bless the springing of harvest. It will come out of the water. Nobody in here, you go plant a garden, you won't put water on it, it'll wither. That's what's going on. We're withered because we don't have no water. Go to 2 Kings chapter 5. Y'all know this story real good. I'll just exhort this one. Remember Naaman comes? I think he was a captain in the army. He came with his horses and his chariot. Verse 9, 2 Kings 5. Stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha's the church. Elisha's the ones getting mantled by the Lord Jesus with authority with the waters. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, say, go, wash in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman goes, the Jordan? He goes, I got some springs around my house that are real nice. Let me go wash up in there. Because doesn't he have any idea who I am? And Naaman got offended. He's full of leprosy. He got offended. The servant came and said, look, just do what he tells you to do. What's it matter if you go dip over there? Had to go up in that water 7 times. 7 times. But Elisha knew the authority of the waters. What's the 7 times? You may not get all that you're looking for the first time in. You got to keep going back into the water. You got to keep going back in the water. You got to keep going back in the water. I was a month in that water before it started really doing some serious cleansing. I mean, some serious stuff. I couldn't believe it. I've been in ministry for 14 years. That stuff can survive. There's a lot of stuff that survives the present power level of the church all over the place. Survives laying on of hands and all that. But the living water, oh, when it starts flowing, there is nothing's going to live up in that. It's going to cleanse. And when it does, it's going to free you up. You're going to start walking in purity and holiness. I said, oh, Lord, let the waters of sanctification flow. Let the waters of righteousness flow. Let the waters, Father, let them prevail upon my earthen vessel. Let them rise above my high hills. Let them rise above my mountains, just as they cleanse the earth in Noah's day. Let them cleanse my earthen vessel. Wash my earthen vessel with the water of your word. Wash me with pure water. Wash my emotions. Wash me in joy. Wash me in peace. Wash me in glory. I am buried with you, submerged with you in the waters. I'm submerged in the living waters. I am abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house. You maketh me today to drink of the river of your pleasure. I'm drinking of pleasure. I'm drinking of joy. I'm drinking of peace. I'm drinking of glory. I drink of thy holy fountain. For with thee is the fountain of life. My soul is a watered garden. I will not sorrow anymore at all. No sorrow can stay in these waters. Horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. They will emerge no more. The kingdom of God that's within me, righteousness, joy, and peace spring up Oh, well, within my soul, spring up, oh, well, that makes me whole. Spring up, oh, well, with great power. Spring up, oh, well, with riches, glory, and honor. Spring up, oh, well, with demonstration for the nations. Spring up, oh, well, with apostolic government. Spring up, oh, well, and let these double rivers flow. Let them flow, let them flow. Fill the state of Texas. Fill the cities, preparing them for a multi-city revival. Opening the wellsprings of living water within your people. Opening the treasures of heaven from within. We are vessels, but that water is the treasure of heaven. Holy Spirit, you're here to manifest the waters. You're here to activate the waters. You're here to cleanse the leprosy from the church. You're here to open the fountains of the deep that we may drink. You're here to part the waters. You are here to open the eternal wellspring of living water, that which makes us so dangerous to the enemy. It's not our might. It's not our power. You take the weak and the base things of the world to confound the wise. It's those that have the living water flowing in the last days, you see. For my power and my glory will come from thee. I will call my waters out in this last hour, and you will see them fill the earth, and everything that's dead will live again. Ever withsoever these waters flow, there shall be healing. There shall be life, there shall be glory, there shall be peace, there shall be great deliverance, there shall be great demonstration, there shall be wisdom and creativity the world is not known. For I have a few inventions yet to come, says the Spirit of grace, that will change even the economy of this place. For my inventions will flow again. My wealth, my inheritance will be released from on high. For my Holy Spirit will manifest your water to wine. My Holy Spirit will manifest your water to demonstrations. I am with you, says the Spirit of grace. I'm in the waters, for I am the fountain. And I will spring up again in this hour. I will spring up again in this day, for it is a brand new day. Cover me. Everyone say, Lord, cover me. Cover me. There was only one other one you can read about it. It's in chapter 6, first 7 chapters. You remember the axe head fell off? Elijah said, no problem. Nothing will be lost in God's economy. Even steel will float in the waters. Father, authority with the waters.